Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and every other week I jump on in here and tell you what the heck is going on in our little world. And I just have one question for you guys. Are you lost, baby girl? Yeah, it's going to become really relevant here in a hot minute. Hey guys, welcome back. We have something super duper special and fun for you today. We're doing something a little different, and instead of reviewing a book, we're reviewing a movie. But it's like a super relevant movie, and you're going to love it. So I'm going to try to get you there as fast as possible. So let's go through all that basic stuff, right? You know where to hit us up on all of our social media. That is Textual Tension Pod across the board at everything. And you can hit us up on our Patreon at patreon.com/textualtension, at our website, textualtensionpod.com. And hey, shoot us an email at textualtensionpod@gmail.com. If you want to support us and Patreon is not currently in the cards, that is totally okay, and we absolutely love you for it. Share us, please, with everybody you know, everyone you think that would enjoy our little beautiful little podcast. We really, 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 really would appreciate that. That is actually how we get the word out about us. We do not pay to advertise the show at all, and your guys' support, rates, reviews, spreading the word really helps us. So we really appreciate that. I have a quick announcement. Well, not announcement. I have a quick heads up about this episode in particular. So we went ahead and did this crossover episode with the Movie Virgins podcast, which is amazing. Go check it out. And we were trying out some new audio recording software. And as with all new software, no matter how many times you do it on, you know, mess around with it beforehand, you're always going to have a couple issues. So the audio on this, there's a couple hiccups. I did my best. It really is an amazing episode, so I hope you will look past that and go and listen, and it's an absolute blast. As well, and on top of that, we lost a little bit of the opening audio. Nothing crazy, just the intro, them introducing themselves, that kind of thing. It cuts in when Margie is giving us the cover of the movie. So I'm going to do my best to recreate what that might have sounded like. And hey, thanks to the magic of editing and podcasting, you can tomorrow, that is Wednesday, September 9th, go check out us on Movie Virgins, where we all get together. Thanks to time being an illusion, we have all watched the movie at that point, and we're discussing our thoughts, and there are many. So hey, go check that out tomorrow. Again, it was a blast to record with them, and thank you, Movie Virgins. It was so much fun. And if you have listened to all of this and have made it all the way through this, then congratulations. You won't be confused after the intro music when it cuts to us trying to recreate that. If you haven't, everyone listening can laugh at them. And I think the last thing that I have for you guys, if you have made it all the way through this, how about that romance novel wisdom for the week? Here is your bi-weekly romance novel wisdom, my friends. If a man kidnaps you in order to help make you fall in love with him, it is not okay unless he gives you at least 3 over-the-top shopping montages. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 52, A Heart Condition Called Love.
Oh, love, tearing me apart from the inside out so I can see myself from the inside.
All right, let's do this. This is probably how it went. Okay. Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm your co-host, Margie.
Every other week, one of us watches and summarizes a romance movie for the other unsuspecting co-host. This week, Margie.
Me.
It watched a movie, which is, you might notice, different. And together, we unpack what the fuck
just happened.
And hey guys, it is a little different today, huh? Movies, not usually our jam. So we have enlisted a little bit of help on this particular adventure, because we're going to need it. And we are joined by Movie Virgins. Hi guys, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourselves? Sure, Rachel and Margie. Hi, I'm Lindsay. And I'm Leah. And we're the Movie Virgins. So every week, one of us
watches a movie they've never seen before. That's The Virgin. And the other co-host, who has seen it before, they get together and they talk about it. And we are super happy to be here on this wonderful podcast that's amazing and we love so much. Guys, I know, I'm so happy you're here. We love your podcast too. Everyone should go check them out. They're absolutely wonderful. Thanks, Rachel. I know. And hey, you know, you really should come check us out. We have a lot of fun. We just kind of sit and have a really great conversation about these movies. I know, Rachel, your favorite is the discussion we had about Thor Ragnarok. And our podcast is amazing and everyone should listen to it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. There's no way we'd be able to discuss 360 DNI, or 360 days, without your help. So Margie.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, that's probably how that went. Okay, take it away, past everybody.
Okay, now we're good. All right, so let's do this. Jump right into this movie, shall we?
Good Lord. Oh, good God. Hey, that's a lot of boobs. Also, if you're wondering, it has...
That's...
3.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's actually not that bad.
Is it?
Yeah, no, I've
really?
I've seen worse. 80% of Google users liked this movie.
Leah likes absolute crap movies, so she might like be in love with this.
That is upsetting.
I was forced to watch Y'all, you're going to have to be looking at included troll sex.
That's a great movie.
What movie?
If you haven't seen it, I think it's still streaming on Hulu. It's called Border. It's Swedish. You gotta watch it.
Okay.
It
sure.
Interesting.
Good Lord.
It was interesting.
All right.
Okay. Describe it.
Margie.
Describe it though.
Okay. I'll go ahead and describe it. Feel free to jump in at any point. So it is a woman with no shirt on. I'm assuming no clothes at all. And there's a dude behind her who's like, his mouth is near her neck. And he's steamily looking at the camera. And she's like doing like this, ugh, kind of face. And he's definitely just copping a feel right on one of them boobs. Just, at least he's covering the nips. So, you know, there's that.
He's got a good handful.
But it's not great.
Yeah.
He does. Like, his hand is perfect size for that tit.
Yeah, they seem like a really good match.
Honestly. Yeah.
And it's a hairy, it is a strong... like not really veiny but kind of sinewy hairy man arm is very masculine.
Well, I mean, all the better to keep her warm since she's
indeed she is naked.
Oh god. Naked. And it's Polish, so I'm sure it's pretty cold where they're filming.
They're usually
so.
In Sicily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
They're well travelers.
Yes, and he has nicely groomed facial hair as well.
He does.
So he's got a very masculine arm, but more of a metrosexual face. He's like,
definitely looking at the camera and therefore looking at me like, this bitch is mine.
Yep.
Which is a little hot and a little off-putting all at the same time.
Can I just say that no one's boobs are that perky when they're not wearing a bra?
No, either he's doing an excellent job at supporting or there are things inside.
He's taking the place of a bustier because he's boosting her yays.
Yes.
Yep. So, okay. I'm going to read, first of all, 3.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and I'm going to read this description. Massimo is a member of the Sicilian Mafia family, and Lara is a sales director. Strong opening. Now I know what the characters are. Good. She does not expect that on a trip to Sicily, trying to... save her relationship, Massimo will kidnap her and give her 365 days to fall in love with him. And that's it. That's the description.
So it's not a leap.
I don't think... I don't think that... I don't think that anyone expects to be kidnapped.
I mean...
Well, that is not... Is it really a kidnapping, though? That is just kind of like, oh, you showed up. I guess we're going to go on this fabulous adventure. I mean, if it's not consensual that it's kidnapping, but, like, what if you knew that it was going to happen and we're like, okay!
I mean, then it's just going on a trip.
Sure. Surprise vacation.
No.
A slightly non-consensual road trip.
Yeah, like, it's... just a touch. Yeah, maybe it's just some really intense role play. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there are companies that will do that. There's like a Castle episode where like they could be like secret agents or something. You could be like a secret agent for a day
or like a week or something, and it was like a paid for vacation. So I wonder, maybe you can do like a couple's trip.
Going to Sicily, I would be 100% in on let's do the old school mafia role play. Like, yes, mafioso, come find me.
Yeah.
So okay, all right. So
I would make it like a fucking scavenger hunt, though, with guns.
All right, so here we go. We've got our triggers, which is human trafficking, physical abuse, sexual assault, gun violence, murder, and yacht napping. Yacht napping, meaning you are kidnapped onto yacht.
Oh, cat.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an implication because of the boat. Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
The implication.
Well,
Margie, is there yacht violence?
Yes. There's a lot of yacht things yacht happening. It's a lot of yacht. Okay. A lot of yacht.
It's a yacht.
It's a yacht. It's a yacht. So this, like it said in the little thingy, the little summary, like it said in the summary, this movie is between two characters, Laura and Massimo. Massimo is head of an Italian mafia. And Laura, I put in the note, it says in the description, she's a sales director or something. But I put in my notes, I'm really, really sure what she does. Like, there's a scene where she sort of roasts this guy who works for her company at the very beginning of the film, but it mostly just shows she's a badass. It doesn't really say anything about what she does for a living. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't know she has a job because otherwise she couldn't afford to go to Sicily.
She has a very high paying job. Like, she seems to be like pretty bougie, and her best friend is pretty bougie too. So especially in this day and age when nobody can afford to be bougie, she must make a good amount of money. Okay. So the first thing that happens in this movie, it's a flashback, Massimo, from the present day. Massimo is on an island of the Mediterranean Sea with his father, who is the current mob boss of their mob family, right? Their mafia family. They are making a deal with another mob for child human trafficking.
Oh, good. Strong opening.
So mafia, like these other guys who are from the other mafia are like, hey, we've got him as young as 12. Like literally that's what they say. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
And Massimo's father, to his credit, refuses them. And is like, this is not really what we do. Like, we're more drugs and murder. You guys are like a step further. Like, we're not really into that. So,
hey, listeners, if you're interested in hearing all about human trafficking and how and its unrealistic representation in media, we have an interview. Yeah, an episode and an interview with the director of Abolition Ohio. So go check that out. It's on our feed.
Yes.
A while ago.
But
just saying.
Anyway, continue. And Massimo is like, Massimo, who is there with his dad, is like, these guys are assholes. Fuck them. And Massimo's dad is like, yeah, but they're also potential business partners in the future. So we need to be respectful. Like, we might not buy kids, but who knows? Maybe we'll buy some drugs or guns or something.
Or maybe kids are the wave of the future.
Maybe. Maybe. And in that scene, Massimo actually has some binoculars and he is eyeing this girl on the beach. Like, he's just kind of...
That's not creepy.
It's not at all. He's just kind of stalking her, watching her. She's on the beach, like, do-do-do. And the dad is like, here, let me see the binoculars. And he sees what Massimo is seeing. And he's kind of like... His dad is like, focus up, Simba, because one day all of this will be yours. You know, all of this child trafficking will be yours.
My eyes are up here. Excuse me. My mafia family is up here.
So then, very suddenly, shots ring out. A sniper shot kills Massimo's father and wounds Massimo. Dun, dun, dun. So, dun, dun, dun. Massimo's dad is dead. And so now Massimo is head of his mafia family. All right.
You've heard of foreshadowing, but have you heard of like current shadowing where he says, hey, this thing's going to happen. And then it literally happens at
one
that
day.
Moment.
This will be yours.
That day is today.
Today is that day.
I take the ring from my finger.
So we fast forward to 5 years into the future. Massimo is dramatically sitting at a circular board table in a fancy office building in presumably America, as you know that it's America because someone also sitting at that same like circular board table is like says like, you can't do this. This is America. And I'm like, that's really naive.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
One in America.
It's America. There's no rules.
Right.
It's America. America. No rules. not at all right.
Well, it's and it's insinuated that in this scene, Massimo blackmails the other businessmen and women in the office. So he gets a bunch of money from them. He steals a bunch of money from them, essentially. And another scene that's kind of happening simultaneously, like they're cut together, right? Laura is kicking ass by uncovering another guy's mistake on her team, essentially. So that, at least that's what I understood was happening in the exchange. Wasn't really clear to me. Basically, she was being a badass. So yeah. We've come from that. Basically, both these scenes are meant to show that both these people are badasses, right? And the next scene implies that they are both very horny, sexually motivated. What's the damn word? Because she is taking pictures of herself in just her bra in the back of a cab. And he is watching a video of a girl named Anna undressing on his phone. Next scene, Laura comes home to her boyfriend, Martin, and tries to start some sexy time with him. And he is just not interested. And he's like, let's not do sexy times with your weak heart. Okay. Also, she's...
I have a headache. I'm not in the mood.
Exactly. And he's also... So, like, they're leaving for her to go on a trip tomorrow for her birthday to Sicily from Poland. And he's like, oh, yeah, also, don't you have to pack for us? Like, don't you have to get ready for the trip for us? All of your hips.
Okay. Yeah.
She's packing for him.
I'm not liking any of this. Like, she has to get naked when she feels sexy, but the guy feels sexy. Massimo feels sexy, and he's watching girls get naked. And then,
yeah, that's right? A good point. That's a point.
Yeah, yeah. And then, gross.
If my partner ever asked me to pack for him for an Italian vacation, all of his luggage would just be thongs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the only swimsuit you have. You have to gotta wear it.
Imagine Zach in a thong. No.
Welcome.
Okay. So, and she is like leaning over the couch to like kiss him from above, her boyfriend, Martin, right? And the kissing is just remarkably loud, just weirdly loud. And I recreated the sound in my room just to myself to see how loud it was, how hard it was to create the sound. And I woke up my cat from a nap.
Are you going to do it for us now?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Surprised. You tease and then you don't deliver.
Fine. Okay, let me see. Oh, God, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm here.
How's that?
Perfect. Okay, except louder.
Good. Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
So then, this is going to like take a lot of deep dives too, so just be prepared. So then, Laura goes into her bedroom and masturbates with a dildo, and it is an extremely choreographed scene. Like, heavy pop music playing, and she's, yeah. And
is that not how you usually do it?
What? Like, just writhing on.
Is that not how you usually masturbate too? Like, just to the music, whatever you have playing, planning the choreography.
There's a bass player in the corner.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hear me out, Olympic Committee for Olympics, whoever decides what goes to the Olympics. Synchronized masturbating.
Nice.
Think gymnast level, but like, I think we can make it work.
I could get into that. Yeah.
All right. And then so then in another scene, like, again, it's clipped on top of each other. Massimo had been like, he has a private jet, of course, and he had been laying down in his private jet. Then he kind of got up to like sit with his buddy and have a chat. And while he was doing that, the stewardess had gone to the back to kind of like tidy up where he had been taking a nap. Massimo has this poor girl pleasure him on a private plane
as a flight attendant. Is
what to do. That's what they're there for. Right. That's what they're there for.
Oh, I've been using wrong the whole time. So hang on. She is shown masturbating, but he's horny, and so he's gonna have a woman suck his dick instead.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
God. Is everything my responsibility? Like, I have to get myself off, I have to get you off, I have to get stranger on the jet off, I have to pack for you. Fucking men.
What am I, your mom? Wait, no, that's no.
And she does enjoy it. And there is, this director has a very weird thing of the actresses, like, who, this happens a lot in this movie, where a woman is pleasuring Massimo and the girl will go like this after and then lick her finger.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's some softcore stuff. And I do find it, is the message here that, you know, women who masturbate are powerful.
Oh, yeah, he wants you to swallow.
That's them expressing their sexuality in a powerful way. But a man shouldn't masturbate. That's weakness. He should get a blowjob.
All right, so now
So the next day, Laura leaves on her birthday trip to Italy. She is with her boyfriend, one of her friends, maybe her best friend. I can't remember because she comes up later, and her best friend's boyfriend. Her boyfriend is kind of an asshole, which is not surprising, judging by this entire movie. And he gets drunk on her birthday night and kind of makes her to look like a fool, like just kind of humiliates her a little bit. And he doesn't mean to, but he's drunk enough that that's what he does.
Girl, drop his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So
drop it like it's hot.
She kind of like walks away to like, I need some air. I just need a minute. Like, give me a second. She walks away to like say ostensibly to use the bathroom, and she gets kind of lost, and she bumps into this guy who is Massimo, who says, are you lost? And he says this during the movie. Are you lost, baby girl?
Dislike.
Yeah, major dislike. But then she goes back to her table, and weirdly enough, someone has sent her favorite bottle of wine to the table, but they don't know who.
Okay, two things. One, how did he know? Because we're assuming Massimo. How did he know what her favorite bottle of wine is? And two, baby girl. No, not an okay thing to say to a woman. Baby girl, sweetheart, any of those.
She's just too powerful. We need to knock her down a few pegs with the baby girl. And also, he's in the mafia. He knows what her favorite. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, God.
We're going to get to that. So the next day, Laura and her boyfriend get into an even worse fight. And she actually pushes him to a pool. And she storms off and spends the rest of the day on her own looking dramatically over vistas of the Mediterranean Sea.
God, Tuesdays, am I right?
So then at night in the evening, she starts to head back to her hotel. But she like, creepy moment of guys saying, ciao bella, and just kind of eking her out. But then she goes down another alley and like a car starts revving and she's like, oh, and she goes to walk in the other direction away from the car. And she bumps into someone who says like, buonasera Bella. And then it cuts to her waking up in a very large bed in a very large bedroom, and the bedroom door is locked.
God, Tuesdays, am I right? Jeez,
bringing back some post-traumatic stuff.
I just am thinking of all the women who might be watching this and being like, yes, this is my fantasy. Like, my boyfriend's an asshole and I've been whisked away to this big bedroom and it's a mystery. Who's going to come find
me? Who are these women?
I don't know. But 80% of Google users liked this movie, really, so I feel like that's them.
I'm really worried about them. Like,
this is... an infinitely worse version of someone coming up behind you, putting their hands over your eyes and going, guess who?
Guess who gets elbowed in the face?
Guess whose bed you just woke up in? It's a fun surprise.
She, after an indeterminate amount of time, the door to the bedroom is unlocked. Like, she hears it unlock. And she wanders through this verifiable castle and finds a very large painting of herself on the wall.
No!
The plot thickens.
I don't understand.
No!
Rachel's...
No! Paintings take a long time to make.
Yeah.
No! I'm assuming it's an oil painting because it wouldn't be anything else. And those take a long time.
And it's huge. I mean, it is huge. It is very large.
Is it actually her?
It's actually her.
Great-grandmother?
No, it's actually her.
This isn't like, so yeah, I guess I didn't see this coming.
I obviously go ahead.
I feel like if I'm going to wake up in a room where and it's a nice room, but I don't know where I am, I would expect breakfast and coffee in bed. Like, I'd be really upset if the door just unlocked and it wasn't somebody coming in to serve me coffee.
It is nighttime. And like, it is nighttime. It's not morning. So
obviously, I have a very large oil portrait of myself in my bedroom. But that took a while, right? It took years to find someone to do the commission. So, like, he's obviously been watching her for a while.
Yeah. She hasn't. How long has she even been on vacation?
Oh, no, he hasn't been watching her. That's where it gets worse. Okay.
What?
Do go on.
All right. So after she
when she turns around, when she sees this painting and she's frozen, she's like, oh my God, what is happening? So she turns around and Massimo is there and she immediately faints again. So she wakes up in a chair. She faints again. So she has a heart condition. So that's why she genuinely has a heart condition. All right. Fair enough. So she wakes up in a chair.
Generic heart condition.
Yes. And Massimo is leaning in front of her and he's like, have an ice cube.
Bitches love ice cubes.
I know that if any, like, ice cubes fix a lot of things. You got asthma, ice cubes. Diabetes, ice cubes. You know, heart condition.
What do diabetes do with ice cubes?
The only living being I have ever served an ice cube to is my dog. If someone gave me an ice cube, I would immediately be like, are you calling me fat? I can't
even. Well, and he pulls it out of the drink, like the scotch that he's drinking.
Like, I've seen, like, in a hospital, someone that can't, so, like, for instance, when my sister was giving birth to a child, she couldn't drink, but she could have ice chips. That makes sense. Not covered in scotch. Yeah, because they
had to take her in for emergency surgery, so yes.
Right.
You don't want to aspirate, of course, you can't have it then, but are you that concerned? What are you planning on doing with me now?
So she tries to fight her way away from him, but he, like, physically grabs her and pushes her down into the chair and says, don't That's you want problem. To know why the fuck you're here?
No.
No. I just want to leave. So,
if I say no, will you let me leave?
She stays still, and he explains, like, this does not make any sense, so prepare yourself.
Oh no.
The day that his father died, she was the one on the beach that he saw. Like, he was the one, she was the one that he was watching in his binoculars. And when he got shot, all that he could see in his mind was her face. Like, it was, like, imprinted in his mind. And even after he recovered, all he could see was her, quote unquote. And ever since then, he has been looking for her. He had no idea who she was. And everybody around him said, and he was like, and everyone around him was like, she does not exist. It's kind of like, in a really twisted way, like Prince Eric and the Little Mermaid. Like, yo, you did not get saved by a mermaid. Like, that was not a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, she was real.
It was my father's dying wish that I find you and kidnap you and force you to have sex with me.
Yeah.
Yes, right. My obsession is okay because my dad died, right? Dad dead is, it gives me lots of, you know.
I don't get why you would, like, want to find her, though. I was eating at IHOP when my dog died, and to this day, I will not go near an IHOP. Ever again.
I feel like negative association is way stronger.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You'd never want to see her face again. You'd be like, no, thank you. But no, he's obsessed with her.
Also, I'm sorry, but what I know of you so far does not lead me to believe that you were paying any attention to my face.
I was thinking about this and I was like, okay, it kind of would have been interesting if you changed this plot so that it was like, so you are a witness to this murder. So you may know who the sniper was. No, they do not go in that direction. Of course, why would they?
He doesn't even think.
No. And he was convinced, and this is a quote, that, quote, one day she would stand in front of his and be his. Stand in front of him and be his. He finally, so when she was going to Sicily, he saw her at the airport. And on the way to her birthday trip. So that's how he finally found her. He saw her while he was in his car and she was, like, waiting for a car or something. I don't know. And he had someone follow her since then. Like, pretty much since she had arrived in Sicily, I think, he had someone follow
her. Romantic.
Super romantic.
So romantic.
So her response to that is, you must be kidding. Nobody owns me. I'm not an object. You can't have me just like that. Kidnap me and think that I'm all yours. To which he responds, I know, but that's why I'm giving you a chance to fall in love with me. Not because I made you do it, but because you will want to. She's like, just let me get through this. Just let me get through this, okay? She's like, look, I have a life already without you. I don't need your love, so let me go. Massimo reveals that her boyfriend is cheating on her. He's like, he doesn't deserve you. Which has nothing to do with the current situation. Like, whether he's cheating or not has nothing to do with what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So she's pissed at her boyfriend, but she's also like, still want to get out of here. So she tries.
Also was still kidnapped. Right.
Still kidnapped. Nothing has changed. So she tries to run again, and he pushes her down into a chair and gives her a non-consensual feel up, and then says, I won't do anything without your permission. When you desire me, come to me yourself. That's not what happens.
You just did. You just
you do not have my permission to keep me here.
Right. And he literally, I'm not going to do anything without your permission, as he's feeling up her boob without her permission.
Oh, he does that a lot.
Since he's already kidnapped her. Since he's already taken her hostage. But from this point forward, nothing without you.
Rachel, if you'll recall, this is some real Jericho Forge bullshit for some longtime
listeners.
That's
exactly what I've been thinking of this whole time, is the weird, definitely not Jason Momoa guy who comes so powerful that you could hear it on the other side of the yacht. That was another book.
Yeah.
This vibe. Exactly.
I just... Jericho Forge, the author's name?
Jericho no, Forge the character is the thing. Character's name. Jericho Forge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jericho.
Great.
He kidnaps a chick on a yacht. That was the start of yacht violence, and it's been a reoccurring theme in several episodes.
Yeah. A lot of people have a fetish about being kidnapped on yachts. Who knew?
And blowing them up.
Yeah. Oh, and blowing them up. And so...
I prefer a pontoon boat.
Be a good deck boat.
Sexual misadventures.
So Massimo tells Laura that he will keep her for 365 days. If at the end of that time she doesn't fall in love with him, he'll set her free.
What even is Stockholm Syndrome, though?
There are at least three escape attempts that she tries to make in this scene, and he holds her back every time. Like, he holds her and, like, pushes her very forcibly down.
But she wanted it.
Oh, yeah. And remember...
With her permission.
With her permission.
Yes, with her permission.
Oh, well, remember that whole permission thing? He kisses her. She steals his gun. He steals it back. So this relationship is starting off great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. Do we have different definitions of permission? Because I thought permission was trying to shoot someone that was doing something I didn't want. To me. Weird. Awkward.
So, then he goes to execute a guy who betrayed their mafia. She is sent back to her room.
What? Okay. Mm-hmm. How many days has this been?
Oh, it's been 5 minutes. It hasn't been days.
Oh.
Hey, one. Like, it's going to be a long year.
he gets called away by his, like, right-hand man. Not Hamilton. Cut that, but he gets called away by his right-hand man, and they have found this guy who has betrayed their mafia, and has been, once again, selling children. That is, like, a very overarching theme.
Because selling is so much worse.
Does he do that with their permission?
No. And he does not like the fact that these children have been kidnapped and held against their will and then forced to do sexual acts, which is really kind of, you know.
What?
That's noble.
Well, everything in this movie doesn't seem quite so bad as long as you present something that is worse.
Right.
So in this case, kidnapping a woman and holding her against her will isn't as bad as kidnapping children. Thus.
Right. He's the better. He's actually a good dude because of that.
Right.
So, yeah. So he goes to execute a guy who betrayed their mafia. Laura tries to escape again by running the shower in her room so that people will hear that. And I'm assuming climbing out of a window, because then it just cuts to her, like, out on the whatever. But then...
She teleported.
Yeah, she teleported. But then she spots Massimo shoot the guy in the head, and she passes out again.
Okay.
I'm beginning to think this weak heart isn't really a cardiac.
I mean, it is stressful. She's being tossed in a stressful situation because she's such a high-powered sales director or whatever. You would think she'd be used to that kind of stress.
And also, like, assuming she climbed out of a window, this was a castle, right? Like,
yes.
It's got to be a lot of stress for her to climb down the outside of a castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she must have tired herself out swinging from the turrets.
No, you're right.
She used her sheets to make a rope.
Maybe she's a fainting goat.
Could be. That brings a whole new layer. Do we need to have a, like, bestiality warning?
Oh, no. Oh, God. I want to reshoot this movie, but with fainting and screaming goats in her place. Every single chance.
If you don't follow, I'll keep you for 365 days. If you don't follow the 11th feet, then I'll let you go. So when she wakes up, Massimo is there, shirtless, Avi. And he explains Match. that he killed the guy because he had been, quote unquote, hurting children. Yeah.
That makes everything okay. Yeah,
that makes everything
I believe okay. him now. I'm in love.
She asks for her laptop and phone. He says no. Then he says that they are flying somewhere else, to which she says, I'm not going anywhere with you. Again, he gives her no choice in the matter. And then there's another physical altercation.
Where did he get her laptop? Unless she was going out to dinner also carrying her laptop.
Sorry, I should have explained this. He got all of her stuff from her hotel from her boyfriend. Yeah.
Well, how considerate. From
her boyfriend? Like, he was just like, oh, you're taking her over?
No, but like he...
She's your problem now.
He had the boyfriend was left a note from Laura saying, I'm leaving you, goodbye, I'm starting a new life kind of thing. And they took her stuff. Massimo's henchmen took her stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I just imagine, hey, picture this. New scene. One of the henchmen dresses up with a wig and some of Laura's clothes. I'm leaving you. And then leave.
But he's like heavily bearded also. Yeah. And like 6 feet.
But it's believable.
But yeah, he's got the wig.
So. He's enjoying it, though. He had a good time with it.
And Martin, her boyfriend, is just looking at his phone and being like, uh-huh, bye. See ya.
Right.
All right. So Massimo tells Laura that he has business in town and he needs her to come with him. She resists going anywhere with him. Then they're in the car together and they go on this bizarre shopping trip, like the shopping montage.
Always a shopping montage. Always.
Oh, there's three in this movie.
Wow.
So at one point,
does she get to try on three dresses for him?
Oh, yeah. She tries on
lingerie.
Okay, just wait. And so at one point during the shopping trip, he takes her into a lingerie store. He takes her and she's trying something on in a dressing room. And he breaks into the dressing room while she's trying it on. There's another physical altercation after she says, get out of the room and you'll never see my body in lingerie again. To which he says, I order it and I'm going to decide when I get to see it.
Consent is an illusion. And also, yes. There's just a Victoria's Secret employee just going like, I do not get paid enough for this shit. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Also, I know for a fact that two people are not allowed in those dressing rooms at the same time unless one of them is an actual employee who is helping to fit.
Right.
Maybe he's an employee. Plot twist.
Oh.
That's Victoria's Secret. It's actually owned by the mafia. Well, it's owned by Les Wexner. So it's not that far off. Who knew Jeffrey Epstein? So it's all good.
Good. Yeah. I always thought her secret was actually stuffed.
So he's like, oh, okay. So Laura gets really pissed at this and is like, and throws the lingerie at him, puts her clothes back on, throws the lingerie at him, and runs out of the store. And, she runs out of the store and she bumps into two police officers and she tries to explain that she's been kidnapped and needs help. But the policemen see Massimo behind her, give him a little bow and walk away from her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quite powerful.
Quite powerful. Yeah. He's like, look.
What a hashtag alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Massimo is like, look, let's just ride this out for the year and see what happens. You know, you might fall in love with me. Weird things have happened. And I get the feeling.
What even is consent? I'm such a charming guy. You don't even know. I like don't like it when people rape babies. And my dad is dead. Right? Like, you gotta feel bad for me because my dad's dead and I'm buying you underwear.
You owe me.
You owe me.
I love you guys. Okay.
I can't get past I won't do anything that you don't want me to do and then promptly does everything she doesn't want him to do.
Yes. Right.
Is this fucking opposite day?
I think he just knows
that it's just an act for her.
Oh, he knows what she
and
really wants.
She really does want all mm-hmm. of this. And yeah.
She's playing coy.
He just knows her so well.
Yeah.
He really got inside her head with that painting.
Okay. So she kind of gives off this vibe, and I guess this is to give the actress credit of, fine, but I am going to make your life hell for the next year. Like, I am just going to make your life difficult. So they have dinner together that night. And when I say they, I mean Laura and Massimo. She tries to get to know him better, more in a way of using it against him / to antagonize him. He explains that he got into the position he's in, like head of the mafia, because his father died, which... Have you heard? My father died. He didn't want it, but the choice was taken away from him. And she's like, that's so funny. We're so similar because I didn't want to come to Sicily and be stuck here for the next year.
Okay, she has so much sass, and I do enjoy that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Nailed it.
A simple question, because I'm curious now that she's going along with all of this. Did she ever call into work?
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that.
Oh, good.
They thought of everything, Lindsay. Okay. They thought of everything.
Except for real human emotions and feelings. Anyway. And then, so then Massimo was like, in response to that, just give in and teach me to be gentle.
Okay, well, let's start with the basics. Stop shoving.
Yeah.
Don't hold me hostage.
First rule of being gentle and kind, don't fucking kidnap people.
Right.
Rule number one.
All right. So that night when she gets back to her bedroom, her laptop and phone are waiting for her. So I'm assuming
she was rewarded.
Yeah. I'm assuming that she's given cell service. She calls her mom and tells her that she was given a yearly contract with a local hotel in Sicily.
No, you have the option.
Because I'm just going to go with it.
Like she doesn't want her mom to worry.
Yeah, she doesn't want her mom to worry. And so, no, she doesn't call for help.
Bitch, call Interpol.
Right. Right. When she wakes up in her bed the next morning, Massimo is sleeping there. Is he naked or shirtless? I can't remember. I think he's shirtless.
Oh, I would have stabbed a bitch.
Oh, no, she starts to think about fondling.
No, not a human reaction. I would have grabbed like a fork and just, no.
Fork stab. Right, but when was the last time she got to masturbate, right? So, you know, at least it's been a while.
Probably thirsty.
She's weak.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough.
I hope there's a speaker system in this room.
So stuff on these when she Laura jumps in the shower, and in this weird ass room, the shower is visible from the bed. Like there's no like anything.
Thank you.
So she's completely nude. He starts washing her, and then he jumps in a shower that is next to hers.
Now that's being rich. That's money.
Right?
Yeah.
She starts blatantly staring at his dick.
Okay. Can you see his penis?
So that was an interesting thing about this movie. I was surprised you never saw his penis because I have seen penis on Netflix. So
yeah.
I'm very surprised that they didn't show dick.
They have to leave something to the imagination.
I guess
but
I just
we can't leave really very little to the imagination. Very little. Literally all it's like his dick and her vagina are the only things that we don't see.
Yeah. I just like if I'm kidnapped by a man who just shows up in my bed the next morning, I think I'm just gonna not shower until I smell so bad that he stops showing up in my bed every morning.
But if you were super horny and you wanted to get laid, you would probably clean yourself to make yourself more appealing.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I mean, maybe the Stockholm syndrome is really starting to kick in. That's my personal take from this. Like, that's
officer, it was consensual. She was showering.
Well, so let's get into that.
Okay.
She starts staring at the stick, and they start playing around in the shower. But then she's like, all right, I'm going to walk away because I'm too cool for you. Well, I shouldn't say that. She's just kind of, that's the vibe she's giving off of like, whatever. Okay. It was fine. And he grabs her by the nape of the neck, pulls her back around and kisses her.
Consensual.
I just,
and she loves it because she's a fucking
dick. Yeah.
Right. It's funny to me that there's still a tease in all of this. She's been kidnapped, but she can still tease right. him.
Oh, God, guys. Oh, I'm so sorry. And you're going to have to watch this movie. At least you're going to be warned.
No, I know.
I wasn't warned. Oh, next scene. She is being physically dragged onto a plane by two bodyguards. And then she's tied to a seat with seat belts. Tied. Yeah. He then breaks his rule by touching her.
Why don't you use the little clicky guys?
What?
You just have to put the buckles together.
Yeah, why don't I use the buckles?
He then breaks
his... It's not as kinky that way.
He then breaks his rule by touching her. First her breasts, then by reaching down into her pants. And he starts giving her a good feel down there, and she seems to be enjoying it. Oh, and by the way, this is happening within full view of at least one other guy in the plane.
Well, lucky him.
At this point, I'm just really wishing and hoping that at the end there's a big reveal and they've known each other the entire time, and it's a whole, that's the twist.
See, I was hoping that she would be like an informant or something for like Interpol, and that's why she stuck around for so long. Like, she's undercover.
Okay. I did appreciate that you said he broke his rule when he's definitely broken his rule up until now.
No, this was the moment. Just now.
All right. So she continues to try and make his life a living hell. When they get, so they're going to Rome. When she gets to Rome, she jumps into a fountain because she's bored while he's making a business deal with his cousin.
It's like the fucking gasoline fight from oh God.
Zoolander.
Yes, from Zoolander.
Yeah. Actually, that water in the fountains of Rome, you can drink it. It's really clean. So like they usually advise that you just use the spigots that are like in the walls. But like, yeah, all the water that are in the fountains and everything, it's constantly filtered. So it's really clean. So you can't drink it. Oh, and you can't, but I mean, if somebody's been swimming in it, you probably don't want to be drinking it.
Yeah.
So later, okay, so they go back to the hotel. And she later on, she knocks on his door just in a robe, and he is wearing nothing but a towel. So, and she's basically there just to tease him, like she's there to drive him crazy, which is a really bad idea. This is all a bad idea. It does not work out well for her though. But I just want it known that somehow in his hotel, in this room, he has a painting of himself standing next to a lion.
Who is painting for him?
I want to know.
He have like an artist on commission?
He must be that artist.
Is he riding?
That artist must be.
Because if I have a painting of myself with a lion, I'm going to be riding it.
Yeah.
That artist must be.
Not in a sexual way, like holding onto the mane, like we're riding the lion.
Onward.
Like, Aslan.
Yeah.
So,
you know, riding on the back of God, Aslan.
Right. Massimo does not deserve to ride on the back of Aslan. Aslan would kill Massimo so quickly, Yeah. Just.
But he's a champion of children. Oh, God. Is he not?
Okay. So she sits on the couch and spreads her legs because why not? He loosens the towel he was wearing and is like, let's do it. Let's have some sex. But she says no. She tries to walk out of the room and the door is locked.
Swiper, no, swiping.
She goes back. She goes back to him and is like, hey, open the fucking door. Let me out. Let me out of the room. Open the fucking door. And he kind of like both kisses her and like kind of touches her like a quote unquote a lover. I know that this is not, that's just the description that I have for you. Live with it. Uh-huh. And he pushes her back down onto a bed. Then chains her to the bed, hands and feet.
Uh-huh. Jesus. What even is this?
Oh, it gets worse.
How many days has it been? How far
we're the movie over are we? Two-thirds through.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is all very quick.
Well, there is a line in this movie where she says, I don't need 365 days.
Yeah, please tell me the next line isn't,
because I love you now.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what the line is.
New title, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Exactly.
30.
10 business days.
What is it? 28 weeks. Isn't that the movie of 28 days?
28 days later. Oh, 28 days later.
Okay. And then
28.
All right.
So, into a surprise 28 days later sequel, I would be so here for it.
All right. So on the lower chain, the chain that's on her legs, it's on each ankle, right? And there's this one chain between each of her ankles, or like this object, right? And I can't remember which direction it is, but it's basically like the more she moves, I think tries to get away, basically, the wider it pulls her legs.
Now that's some engineering.
That is That's horrifying. That is horrifying.
Mechanical engineer.
It's like the reverse of a.
That's what I was thinking.
I hate this. This is bad. This is awful.
Really bad. All right. So then he says, I'm going to show you what you're missing. He sits back down on the couch and has another woman come in and pleasure him while Laura is watching. That all happens. He comes up back up to her onto the bed and is like, should we have sex? Thinking about it. And then he's like, no, we're not going to. And he tells her to get dressed. They're going to one of his clubs in 2 hours.
But you have to stay chained. Sorry. You got to figure it out.
Yeah. He does unchain her. Okay. So then she's
nothing.
But then he puts the dog collar on her.
Nothing gets me hornier than watching my partner have sex with another woman.
Yeah.
And I get some people get off on that. Not me.
Same. She dresses herself to the nines when they're before going to the club, presumably to drive him wild and make him mad. And she comes into she's led into the club by like another one of his right-hand men. And she, that guy's like, wait right here, wait by the bar. We will come back out. Like, give us, 15 minutes and then we'll go and do our thing. And she's like, I don't think I want to do that. So she goes up to the room while he's having the business deal. And she's dressed like in a way that would makes him very angry. She's dressed like she's at a club. Like, she's wearing a short skirt. She's wearing bright red lipstick. She looks awesome. She looks great. But like, she looks too sexy for him, because then other men are going to go after her. Right. So
I'm assuming these are clothes that he has provided for her.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And she mentions that. She's like, I'm wearing 2,000 of your euros.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hang on. You keep talking. I'm going to figure out what that is in American money.
All right. And this is an important. So I have to make this note before we go on to the next little bit. Do you remember that girl, Anna, at the beginning of the movie who was sending Massimo sexy videos on his phone while he's in the cab? Well, it turns out, I think, because the plot is not clear, that she either works for or is in charge of another mafia. So like another mafia that Massimo works with, right? Like they're kind of, trade deals and that kind of shit. And Massimo's...
In case you're wondering... Sorry, keep going.
Massimo's trying to make a business deal with that mafia that night.
Okay. So it's $2,368.48.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very specific amount of American.
Yeah.
So later on, because Laura is feeling pissed and defiant, she starts dancing and flirting with another guy. And then he starts acting like really aggressively, like, yeah, let's have sex. And he's really drunk. And Massimo pulls out two guns on that guy's group of friends, who happens to be the people who he was supposed to make a business deal with that night. You never see or hear a shot fired, but Massimo shoots the guy's hands to punish the guy for touching her.
Women ruin all the business deals.
They do. And like, you'd think because she's a powerful businesswoman, she'd understand how to broker business deals, but apparently she's too sexy for that.
Yeah. And defiant.
Her business must have been doing really bad.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they're not even missing her.
It's like Belinda blinked. Oh, gosh. Okay, so the next scene. They're on a yacht, and Massimo's right-hand man is like, look, you've now created a war with Anna's mafia because you shot that guy with his hands. Kill Laura to appease Anna. Get rid of this yacht, and you can prevent more bloodshed. Massimo says no.
Not the yacht! The yacht. Anything's the yacht.
Anything but the yacht.
We've been through so much together.
So at this point, Laura overhears this conversation and apologizes for what happened.
Yeah, because that's going to make it better, bitch.
Well, also, she didn't do anything wrong. She's not done anything wrong.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Laura skirts. And I made that man get handsy with me.
I hope it was ugly crying, too.
She doesn't cry. She didn't cry. She doesn't cry. Does she cry? She cries at some point in this movie. So, and then Massimo's response is, yeah, this wouldn't have happened if you had dressed like a little whore.
Oh, my God. Oh, is that where we're just calling the starting point? Because we could go way farther back in time, my dude.
Yeah. Like, I just saw my eyeballs are going to roll out of my head at some point. Like, everything you say, I'm like, what the fuck?
They are going to, as you say, roll into the sunset.
Yes. Just. So she does stand up for herself and say, okay, so it's my fault that this other mafia guy tried to rape me? Fuck off. They get into another physical altercation and he accidentally pushes her off the yacht.
Oops. If I had a dollar for every time, I would have my own yacht.
A super yacht, excuse you.
Right, super yacht.
A super yacht.
Maybe she'll lose her memory and he can just convince her that she's someone else entirely and we can just like watch Overboard
instead.
Yeah,
let's just do that.
Unfortunately, no.
This was directed by a woman.
Yes, it was directed by a woman. It was directed by a woman.
And a man, but also a woman. Okay.
Okay. So we have, let's see. He jumps in the water, saves her from drowning, and she wakes up in a bed again. She does that a lot. When she wakes up, he's like, oh my God, I was so scared. Please never do that again.
I don't understand what I did to you.
Okay, so she sees this as a perfect time to pleasure him for the first time. There are a lot of blowjobs in this movie.
See, now, not enough women claim TMJ. I just want to put that out there. It's been working for me for years. And even if I were in a kidnapping situation, I'm still going to be perfectly honest with you and tell you my jaw just aches.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't open that wide. And yeah, it's not going to be fun for either of us.
And if anything, like, you can also almost spin it as a compliment of, I'm sorry, your dick's just too big. Like, I can't.
It's too big. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I caught a glimpse of it in the shower and I got to be real with you.
I caught a glimpse of it in the two showers next to each other in a single bedroom that I could see from a bed, you know,
exactly
as normal humans do.
I also saw how that other woman had to unhinge her jaw just to fit around you, and as hot as that was, like, obviously I was super turned on, but you should probably just contact her now.
Maybe you could kidnap her.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just, like, I know my mom was part snake, but I didn't get that particular trait.
Exactly.
Okay, so then they have all the types of sex all over the boat. Like, everywhere, every position.
Margie, do they hit the mystical fifth hole?
I'm assuming so. Your head just kind of, like,
I guess they would be like, what? Seventh? I don't know. There's a lot of holes.
There's like just
feet everywhere.
And I gotta say, the first, like, I've watched, you know, a good amount of sex scenes in movies in my time, but like, and I've watched Sense8, which on Netflix was what I thought was like the pretty much the highest bar of, okay, this is pretty blatant sex. No. I was like,
well, now I'm excited to watch this movie.
Did they put a GoPro on his dick?
I don't think I want that first person angle.
Point of view.
There's just like, and everywhere. And I mean, like, and I, when I say everywhere, I mean like on the bow of the ship, like on the top of the like of the yacht. And there are other people on this yacht.
Oh, like I'm a king
right,
of the world.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
But like with sodomy.
All right. Yeah. So they, and I think that this is the, I remember when I watched this movie the first time she said this, but I couldn't like, I didn't see it the second time, and I don't know why it was, but I thought that she said, like, I don't need 365 days. And then he's like, yes, I win her. I did it. Yeah. Mm. So
that's going to be really uncomfortable for the captain.
I know.
Like, he's just captaining the boat.
I don't know. Like, you have a yacht. You have to expect ejaculate to be flying.
Yeah, like, right?
It's just like champagne and ejaculate just painting this place.
Just, but in the room where you're, when you're trying to pilot the boat, like, come on. It's like, guys, yeah. This is my wheel. I don't want
at least
to care.
Like, yeah, stay out of my eyesight, right. Or my line of sight.
Right.
It's very distracting.
All right. So then there later, they're just kind of like, he's in the water. She's like sunbathing. They're both just chilling, very relaxed. And Massimo's like, guess what, babe? We're going to a ball. And she's like, what the fuck? We're going to a ball? Like, I don't even have anything to wear. And she like gets all pissed off. And I'm like, I don't think that's your biggest concern right now, but okay. Cue a gay boy's makeover montage.
No.
Yes. Oh my god.
Smoothie is everything.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Two adorable gay boys come and give her a complete makeover.
Okay, Margie, does this help or hurt the gay agenda?
Oh,
I
it
need
hurts.
To know.
It hurt the gay agenda so much.
I've been working so hard.
I know, we both Come have. On. We've been working really hard on this gay agenda.
Good Lord.
So they go to this ball and dance super provocatively on the dance floor, which, like, they've done everything else, so why not?
Full ballroom, or full ball gown,
yeah.
But also grinding, yes, which is very hard to do in a full ball gown.
I mean, you're not far off.
Yes. Now I want to see this movie for that scene alone.
All right. They meet, and then, so I think that Anna is the head of the other mob, and, like, so like I said, Anna and Massimo had, like, been exchanging these text messages in these videos, and Anna had not given up on him this whole movie. And they had obviously been like fooling around, whatever. And Anna is very jealous of Laura when they meet at this ball. And Anna's like, maybe I'll just kill Laura. Chill.
I mean, that's my response.
Right. Anna leaves, and Massimo, because they were all speaking different languages to one another, so Laura didn't know what Anna said to Massimo. And Massimo actually does tell the truth and says, yeah, Anna wanted to kill you, but don't worry, babe. I won't let her hurt you ever.
Yeah, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, it makes me feel
my strong protective man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you seen the hair on those forearms? It can deflect anything. It's like Wonder Woman cuffs.
So they go back home. Laura wants to go home, so they do, and they have sex back at their place. And Massimo tells Laura afterwards that he loves her and he's sending her back to Poland to see her family, and that he will meet her there sometime soon.
I know this bitch is like gonna try to kill you, but like, you can go off by yourself, it'll be fine.
Yeah, now seems like a good time.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. It's fine. So, and she's given the impression as she leaves Italy that something very bad has happened, but she's not told what. When she gets to Warsaw, she notices his phone has been disconnected. Laura goes to her best friend's house in Warsaw, who is understandably pissed because Laura really isn't telling her anything about what happened in Sicily at first. Laura at first admits that she had fallen in love with someone, but then they get drunk together. And she actually ends up telling the whole story of, like, what happened.
I hope her friend is like, girl,
yes.
Hold on.
Actually, yes, she is. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is what happened? This is not okay. And da-da-da-da. But Laura's like, but I love him. And then the best friend's like, all right, I guess I gotta live with this.
You're a bad friend.
I mean, we've all had that happen with our friends.
Yeah, well, that's true. You've made a choice. I don't think it's the best choice for you, but you've made it, so.
I feel like there's a line, like, yeah, I'm going to go out and get drunk with my ex. Okay, that's your choice. You probably shouldn't do it. Yeah, I got kidnapped. I'm going to stay with the dude that definitely, like, Stockholm syndromed me. No, that's crossed the line. That's crossed the it's your choice line.
But he bought her pretty clothes.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
and
he has a yacht.
And
his dad's dead.
Oh, right. Wait, and he's a children's savior. Yeah. He saves children.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has a painting of her. And do you know how hard it is to get another one of those commissioned for another woman? It has to be true. True love.
Yeah. He's all in.
Enter best friend makeover scene. They both get makeovers.
Another one.
She dyes her hair blonde, which honestly looks terrible. And then the two of them go out dancing together. Laura gets wasted and ends up seeing her ex-boyfriend Martin at the bar, who's like, give me another chance. I love you. And she's like, fuck off. And he actually follows her home, all the way home. When she gets home, however, guess who's there? Sitting in the living room. Mm-hmm. It's Massimo. Mm-hmm. She didn't let him in. He's just there.
It's his home now. It's like a cat.
Oh, he's up to his old tricks.
That's a Massimo. It's a sitcom now.
Oh, Massimo.
Oh, Massimo. Too many cooks, too many cooks.
All right, so there's another physical altercation, but they end up having sex.
With Martin still there?
No, Martin's not there. Yeah. Martin left.
Oh, okay. All right.
It wouldn't have surprised me if Martin's still there, but
You know what? We've already established that Massimo is an exhibitionist. So
So whether or not she is.
So Massimo the next morning asks to marry Laura.
Okay.
Asks.
Oh, yes. She says she did not faint. She says yes.
Yeah, hang on. Has that heart condition come up any other time?
No.
Not even when they're having mega sex.
Not even when she falls off the side of the boat.
Yeah, I'm
calling bullshit.
Okay, generic heart condition. Yeah. Oh my god. Because this would be far more of an interesting movie if, like, every time they went to have sex, they climax and she just passed out. Way more interesting.
I have heard about people who have conditions like that, though.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever tried to have sex with asthma? It's interesting. It can be weird. It can be very weird.
All right. So there's another shopping montage, and they actually go to a friend of hers. And randomly, they go to a friend of hers' wedding. Like, and it's very weird. And Massimo meets Laura's parents. He leaves for business in Palermo, and Laura's best friend, we're almost done, guys. We're so close. Heyo. And her best friend comes to be a bridesmaid for their wedding. Laura tells her best friend that she is pregnant.
Of course.
Nice. I mean, it all comes together.
So her best friend actually tried to talk to some sense into her, saying, like, you are in a golden cage. What the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you doing to yourself? And her best friend is like, if you make the choice, we will leave and we can raise this baby, just you and I. Like, if that's something you want to do.
That's going to go well.
I'd be like, if you want to go, we can make an appointment at the clinic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll sit in the waiting room. Right. And wait for
you. I'll have shots of tequila ready once you get out.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I will definitely give you a ride. And I feel like that is a lot.
That's the apex of friendship.
It's cool.
It's all right. So, and then, but Laura is like, no, I'm going to marry this dude. And she gets fitted for wedding dresses. On the way.
Yeah, that size ain't going to change.
No, not at all.
If she's pregnant.
On the way back from the wedding dress shop, it's cut to a scene with the right-hand man of Massimo, and he's in a car getting a phone call. The call says, they're going to kill Laura. And the right-hand man immediately hangs up and tries to call Massimo to say, hey, this is going to happen. Like, you need to find your girl. But Massimo is on the phone with Laura, so the line is busy.
That's how cell phones work.
That's how cell phones work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then there's just...
It's the really cheap Italian cell phones.
goddamn WhatsApp. Can't even handle another call. So then there's a shot. And when I say shot, I mean like camera. There's a camera shot where she goes into a tunnel in the car, and she's not driving. It's her driver driving. She has a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And the car doesn't come out the other end. So it's assumed she's dead. And that's the end.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Man, I hate it when I drive into a wormhole. It's the worst.
Well, it's very what it reminded me of. It's very like Princess Diana kind of thing. Like,
yeah, that's what it,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. When you said car driver tunnel, I was like,
yep,
oh,
that's what I thought.
We've seen this before.
But what the that's the end? That's like the least satisfying end. Like, I would have been happy if they ended it with, you know, not even before the engagement. I feel like the first time that they hook up and like have all the, because that's what this movie is leaning to, this big deal sex scene.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. So, but then they got to add all this bullshit fantastical stuff on top of it. It's really depressing.
It doesn't.
Leah, it doesn't really hit home with women unless you also include some sort of incredibly romantic marriage proposal about me becoming like essentially the princess bride and all of that love and excitement.
All romance.
Otherwise, it's just a lot of kidnapping and rape. Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was just like some construction work and they were held up. And
Did you watch past the credits?
I scrolled through the credits to try to figure out if something happened and nothing else happened. Like
the Marvel after the credit scene is just them sitting in traffic like, Jesus Christ.
We're gonna Oh man, we're never going to make this appointment.
Okay, so there is going to be a sequel. It has been confirmed.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
I have many questions, and all of them are why.
All of them are why.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. All of them are why.
All of them are why. I was wondering that the entire time I was watching this movie, and I was also wondering, like, I had a lot of thought and empathy for the actors. I was like, why are you doing this? How much money do you need? Who hurt you? Like,
carrying a child to term is going to be incredibly dangerous for her.
Yeah, with a heart condition. Right.
Yeah.
A miraculously dissolving heart condition.
Oh, right. I forgot. Love fixed it.
Love.
Forgot.
Wait, love fixed her heart.
Her heart didn't have enough love in it.
Aww.
It seems like she didn't even realize that her heart was broken until he came along and filled the hole.
He filled all the holes.
All those holes. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's the mythical hole.
It feels like a really bad your heart. Yeah, he fucked me right in the heart and took care of my shit. It feels like really weird fan fiction-y type stuff, like what 50 Shades came from.
Yeah, that's 100% fan fiction. In fact, what it feels like to me is a fan fiction that was unfinished.
Yeah. It's like
somebody decided to make
it's a 50 Shades fan fiction, which 50 Shades was a fan fiction about Twilight. So it's like
It was a book. It's a book trilogy. It's a Polish book trilogy.
Why didn't we read the book?
But that doesn't mean it didn't start as fan fiction.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here.
We should have read the book.
Oh, it's called 365 DNI. I think I've actually seen this book. Yeah. Like, I think I've seen it on... So, shocker, the protagonist lives. But let's see.
Yes.
Oh.
I told you.
Laura gets kidnapped again by a guy named Marcelo, quote unquote, Nacho. Matos. Nacho. This is the sequel.
You throw nachos in the mix and I'm going to fall in love with it right away.
Because she's only human and perhaps has a touch of Stockholm syndrome, she quote unquote falls for her latest kidnapper, which establishes the trilogy's love triangle.
Oh my God.
Is she also
still pregnant?
Mr. Nacho will be my baby's daddy.
Nacho Libre.
I have a recommendation for Under the Covers, actually.
Okay.
Because I am on IMDb right now looking at the trivia section.
Oh! And,
it's pretty fucking problematic.
Yeah.
That's a word. Yeah.
Is it too bad to rate?
No, we're gonna rate it because it doesn't have any underageness in it. I think that's the rule.
That's fair.
It gets a zero.
Yeah.
It gets a zero. Mm-hmm. I hate everything about it. I hate every moment of it. I hate everything.
Is it zero across the board?
Every moment.
If you guys can see my face, it's just this look of like horror. It's just like I'm smiling, but I'm like at the end of Midsommar.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Right. No, I got you. No. Yeah. That
I'm just makes channeling Florence so Pugh right now. Like, just like.
Can I ask? Because you had to watch it twice. Do you feel like the second time going it was worse. What you're getting
it
into,
was actually worse. So I described it to Rachel. I was like, the first time was a finger. The second time was a speculum. Very graphic. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So. The way this is going to work right, listeners? Just so you guys know. So this is our episode about this movie, which was terrible. And now the rest of us, in real lifetime, the rest of us are going to go watch this movie. But in podcast time, head on over to Movie Virgin's feed, where there's another episode of all of us talking about it after we've all watched it. And also, my husband has decided he wants to watch it with me when I have to watch it. So this could be interesting. We're going to do Under the Covers. Do you guys want to go ahead and throw your plugs in one last time at the end of this? How can people find you?
Yes. Lindsay, do you want to do the plug? Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, so you can find us at Movie Virgins Pod. And then we are definitely streaming on all the podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple. I'm trying to think.
Other ones?
I don't know, Cass. I like Podbean. Podbean is our host, but I'm just totally botching this. The point is, we're out there. You can find us. We have quite a few episodes. Our movies range in, like, tastes, I guess, because Lindsay's sure. really into kind of the MCU and the dramatic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and then I have... We have everything from The Godfather to Trolls fucking...
No, but that's border, and that's quite a good movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's, you get it all.
You got quite a range of movies. So, we have fun. It's a lot like this, just us talking about the movie and asking questions and having a good time.
That's a blast. And go check us out, because we're going to be on it.
Yay!
We are on it. Time is an illusion.
Yes!
Yeah. And hey, thank you, Aylin Ayrieu, for the use of your song, Oh Love, off the album Beheld. Great tune. I love it. It's wonderful. Go check that out.
We use it every 2 weeks.
We do. And it's great. And I think... Hey guys, thanks for hanging in there. And yes, I do know we say that every single week, but it's relevant every single week. So
yeah, I think I'm actually going to have to, I have not had wine since a little over a week, and I think I'm going to have to break it.
It's the neighbor's dog too.
So yeah, my neighbor's dog is
barking. Well, thank you guys so much for joining in as we talked about this movie. And that was a lot of fun. That was so much fun. We're
going to
go talk about fun IMDb facts about this movie. It'll be fun.
All right. Enjoy
yourselves.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.